Well, family, as you all know, today is a very special Sabbath day for all of us. It's also a very special day for God, the Father, and Jesus Christ as well. I thought Mr. Groves did an excellent way of presenting his message in the sermonette. I got a little concerned there. He started meddling in the scriptures that I was going to present. So I sat back and I said, good, he can't even think of the scripture now, so I'm good to go now. You know, it's amazing when you have that little brain fog there for a moment. It's like, you know, I remember one time during Pentecost, I had forgot my notes. I had written my notes down on a piece of paper, and I thought, oh no, now I'm up here and everybody's waiting for me to say something. So I remember what I was going to talk about, so I started talking about it, and I remember the scriptures, started presenting the scriptures. At the end of the sermonette, I had closed my Bible. On the back of my Bible were stuck my notes. So I know that awkward feeling. I know that awkward feeling. Well, family, this week I was down in Canton, North Carolina, for a couple of projects work-wise. And I stopped off in a Pilot gas station to fuel up. And while I was fueling up, I heard this strange noise. It sounded like maybe there were some kids nearby, and they had instruments, and they were blowing a trumpet. As I stood there, fueling my vehicle back up, the blast from the trumpet was a little interesting. I thought, wait a minute, that's not a trumpet. So I kept listening. I said, I know that sound. That's not a trumpet, that's a shofar. Someone is at the Pilot blowing a shofar. And so as I was continuing to fill up my vehicle, I was looking around for this individual who was blowing the shofar. And I kept looking and looking. I can hear it. It was loud. Couldn't find him. So right as I finished filling up, put the nozzle back on, I looked right in front of my vehicle. There was another vehicle parked in front of the Pilot. There was a gentleman with a black hat, black suit, white shirt, leaned over the passenger door, blowing the shofar. And I thought, wow. And I mean, he was really blowing that shofar. And then I took note of everybody that was coming around him, you know, people walking by looking at him like, oh, what an idiot. Oh, what a jerk. Hey, go blow your horns someplace else, buddy. I mean, no one just stopped and recognized the fact that he was blowing a shofar and what that meant. And so finally, I walked over to him right after he stopped, and I said, hey, you did a very good job blowing that shofar. I said, thank you, because that was a reminder to me. He looked at me kind of strange. I even spoke to him. I even thanked him for blowing the shofar. But he did a very beautiful job of blowing that shofar. And I looked at the license plate on his car. He was from out west somewhere. And the other gentleman that was in the vehicle with him, I have no idea how these two men were even in the vehicle together. That vehicle was packed so tight full of stuff, there was barely enough room for either one of them in the car. And I took that maybe these men are traveling across the country, stopping at places, and blowing that shofar. They were blowing the shofar. And I was just impressed by that. And of course, you know, those men were doing this because of the Jewish day of Rosh Hashanah, which began last night at sunset and will end tomorrow at sunset. But what was more interesting to me was how he was blowing the shofar. He had a long blast. Then he had short blast. And he had these little intermediate blast. I thought, that's a signal for something. It's almost like Morse code. You know, and you felt it by listening to him blow that shofar. And so when I got home, I said, well, I wanted to tie this in with my message today. But I wanted to know the difference between those blasts and why he was blowing that shofar that way. Well, I want to share with you the three main types of shofar blasts that you would hear during this time period. The first one, tekiah. The tekiah blast is one long note. Tekiah spelled T-E-K-I-A-H. It's one long note. And it's a summons. What they're doing is they're acknowledging their tradition and reaffirming God's sovereignty. So those who are familiar with the tekiah, they know what that means. The second one was shivarim. Shivarim, which is spelled S-H-E-V-A-R-I-M. Pronounced shivarim. This means to take a break or to put a fracture there. The shivarim blast is three medium length notes, and they are to be compared to someone weeping. They're to be compared to someone weeping. And the last one, teruha, spelled T-R-U-A-H, pronounced teruha. And this blast is a series of short blasts, a staccato sound, compared to an urgent alarm. They were sounding an alarm. They were calling their people to rise up and come out of their spiritual slumber. And it was just really interesting to me that each blast from that shofar had a particular meaning. And what was even more interesting is the fact that someone would know exactly what that meant. Well, you know, I wanted to know what were the differences in these blasts from the shofar. Because each one was different. They weren't the same. They were different. And then it says the fourth type is a longer version of the tekiah. And I remember that because it was a long blast. I mean, he really had to fill his lungs up to blow that shofar as long as he did. Now, that blast right there really got your attention. It really got your attention. And as I looked around at people, I'm thinking, do you get this? People were just walking by, just ignoring him. And it means absolutely nothing. It meant nothing. And I wonder if they got the same reaction everywhere they went, to stop off and to blow that shofar. Those of the Jewish community would have probably heard it, recognized it, and knew what it meant. Well, family, you and me, we are here today on God's Feast of Trumpets as a memorial reminding us of the importance of that day. Now, we too are blowing the trumpet as God has instructed us to do so. Now, on the stage, you see one silver trumpet, but when you read the scriptures, there are how many silver trumpets? There are two silver trumpets. Now, why do we not have two silver trumpets? Well, actually, we do. You see one here. The second one is up in London, Kentucky. That one's being blown in London. Now, I'm going to give it my best shot, okay, because I said I would. I would try to blow this trumpet in ushering in the Feast of Trumpets. Now, if somebody wants to take a picture of this, of me doing this, and send it to James Faulkner, that would be greatly appreciated. Then he knows I actually fulfilled it. I actually did it. Now, whether I did it right, it's an altogether different story. Have that much wind. Blowing the trumpet That's what today means to you and to me. This time period, picturing the return of Jesus Christ. Not today, but this time period. Today is called the Feast of Trumpets. Joel 2 and verse 1, we will go in and read. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for that day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And when I read this, I'm thinking, thick darkness. How thick is darkness? And I'm trying to imagine darkness being thick, so dark that you can't see. Well, that was easy done. Turn off the lights, go in your closet. Turn the light off in the closet and try to find your way out. That's pretty dark. Now, if I had one of those long closets, walk-in closets, I'd probably be stumbling all over myself trying to get out of that thing. But here we're told a day of darkness and gloominess. Well, family, we are looking forward to this day. Some people will probably say that we're nuts. You're looking forward to this day, a day of dark clouds and thick darkness? Well, absolutely. Family, this morning, let us be reminded of the importance of this day and what it means to us, what it means to Jesus Christ and God the Father. The title for the sermon, Blow the Trumpet and Sound the Alarm. Blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. I was really moved and impressed by these men traveling across the highways, stopping at places and blowing that shofar. That shofar only had a meaning to those who knew that Rosh Hashanah was approaching. To me, it was a reminder of the Feast of Trumpets. It was a reminder of the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the trumpets. Verse 2 says, a day of darkness and gloominess, and a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been. Nor will there ever be any such after them. A day of gloominess. A day that, family, you and I are looking forward to. We are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. But before Christ returns, he is going to have to shake up this earth. He is going to have to shake a lot of people up. And so we're going to see as we go along in the scriptures, Christ talking about this day, Christ talking to his disciples about the events that will take place, and Jesus Christ sharing with you and me today about this day and the meaning of this day. When we hear the shofar being blown, as I just attempted to do today, it signifies a Sabbath rest for God's people, a holy convocation, and a memorial of blowing the trumpets. Family, we are to commemorate this day and preserving its importance. Let's go back to Leviticus 23, and let's get our foundation set here as we begin to move forward. Leviticus 23, in verse 23, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial of blowing trumpets. Sounding that alarm, as God shared with Joel to write, blow that trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm for my holy mountain. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of that month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And so here we are given the instructions of what we are to do on this particular day. No work shall be done, and we are to prepare an offering and blow the trumpet. Blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm, awakening the people and letting them know this day is coming and what this day really means. What would you have done if you had walked up to that gas station and you heard that shofar blowing? Would you have thought about the Feast of Trumpets? I think many of us would have, because we kind of know what that means. We know what it means for us. We know what it means to Jesus Christ and God the Father. I think it was very interesting because of the fact that he was up against the building. And when he blew that shofar, it was bouncing off the walls. And it was like his own little echo chamber, just going all over the place where everyone could hear. Where everybody can hear that. It was just amazing to me. When I'm traveling on the road, I meet some of the most amazing people doing some awesome things. And yet, the world walks by them as if they've lost their mind. Well, you know what? The world's going to think the same thing about you and me. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ and what this day pictures and what it means to Jesus Christ and God the Father and us. And the story that I'm going to be sharing here with us is not a story that anybody wants to hear about. But yet, it's a time period that's going to take place. But you know, the disciples sat down with Jesus Christ and they wanted to know, when will the end of this age be? But Jesus Christ told them, there are some things that will have to take place first. There are events that are going to have to take place. Let's go back and be reminded of some of these things that are going to take place. Join me, if you will, in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Now we'll start in verse 1. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings and the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Not one stone. You ever stop and taking your children outside and taking the word of God with you, and you present this to your kids, and you say to them, one day, this won't be here. Not one brick, not one stone will be standing. Now, you got to be careful with your kids, especially if you have boys. I think back when I was a boy, if there was a red to me, I'd be tearing stuff down. And I would be justified in doing so because the Bible said so. Of course, now, that won't go over well with Mom, but I'd be justified in my mind. But here he is saying, not one stone shall be left upon another. Verse 3. Now he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming? They wanted to know when he was going to be returning. When are you coming back? And when is the end of this age? They wanted to know. Of course, you know, many of us who have been in the church for many years, we want to know as well because we've been looking forward to this return. Jesus answered them saying, take heed, number one, that no one deceives you. There is a lot of deception out here in the world today. And family, if we're not careful, we'll be caught up. We can very easily be caught up. He says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. We see and we hear that today. See that you not be troubled, he tells us. Don't be troubled by these events, because these things must take place. For all these things must come to pass, but the end, he says, is not yet. So as we hear rumors of wars, and we see the troubles caused by wars, he says, the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And we see that taking place today. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these things, he says, are the beginning of sorrow. So here are events that are going to have to take place before the return of Jesus Christ. And Christ is sitting with his disciples and he is explaining this to them as he is explaining this to you and to me today. But he gives us that comfort in telling us, don't worry about it. Don't get caught up. Just be aware. Know that these things must come to pass. These things must take place. And when you begin to see those things take place, have no fear. Dr. Groves was talking about that in the sermonette, about how fear causes people to react and do things that they normally wouldn't do. And we're going to see that in verse 9. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and to kill you. Well, not looking forward to that. But yet he says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know, many will feel and believe that we have this doomsday message. This is not our message. This is the message that God has given to us and letting us know the things that are going to take place prior to the return of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a blowing of the trumpets. And each trumpet that sounds, family, has its purpose. Verse 10, and then many will be offended. Who are these many? Who are these many? Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Out of fear, going back to Dr. Grove's message, out of fear, even God's people are going to fall away. They're going to fall away out of fear. They're going to fall away because when they see these events taking place, they're going to be upset. As the Bible says, they're going to be offended. And then what are they going to do? They're going to start turning each other in. They're going to betray one another, and they will hate one another. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. We're talking about events that are going to take place prior to that happening. You know, it's kind of hard to stand and look and see each one of you and to think that somebody may not make it. Or I may be hated for this message. Or I may be betrayed. Or I may be offered up. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You know, every time we look at different events on that television, we see a lot of false prophets out here doing a lot of interesting things. And it's amazing when you stop and you look at this because their followings are great. They're great. And when we look within our family and we see how small the family of God is, it makes you wonder, what are we doing wrong? It's not that we're doing anything wrong. People want what they want. I had a lady I was talking to last week. Hadn't talked to her for a while. But out of the blue, we had a conversation. And she says, you know, Pete, I would love to come to your church. The only problem is your church is boring. Your songs are boring. You sing these songs out of the hymnal. They're boring. He said, when you liven that church up, I'll come back. My church is boring. Never thought of my church being boring. Church is older. You know, we don't have that life that we used to have and bouncing around like we used to. You know? But you said our church is boring. We sing these hymns. They're boring. She'd come back. But it's boring. It's boring. Family, do you find what God has given to us to be boring? Do you? Well, you see, these are some of the tools that our adversary will use to lure us away from the family of God. Many will be offended, he says. And they'll begin to betray one another. They know where we are. They know what we believe. They know what we do. Let's go on down to verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abominations and the desolations spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get any of his belongings. He says, woe to those who are pregnant and have nursing babies in those days. And pray that our flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. You see, we still see the Sabbath being acknowledged and recognized here. We see things that mankind has thrown away, and those who have learned God's way of life over the years have thrown away, but these come back as a reminder to us. This is why we memorialize this day in all of God's holy days. He doesn't want us to forget the meaning of his holy days. He says, then there will be a great tribulation such as never been since the beginning of the world until now. No, not ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, you and me, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. They will be shortened. For the sake of God's people, those days will be shortened. He's going to have to shorten those days because of the fact that when he comes back, will he continue to find us having faith and believing in the Word of God, his plan, his future. Many over the years have kind of given up, kind of tired of waiting. When is he coming back? The disciples thought he was going to come back in their time. We think he's going to come back in our time. What if Jesus Christ does not return and these days are not being fulfilled as we read about them in the scriptures in our time? Where will we be? What will we do? Will we give up? Will we give up hope? Or will we keep looking forward to the day that that trumpet will sound, reminding us that that day is coming and he will return? Verse 29, we read, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will go darken and the moon will not give her light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's not a pretty sight, family. This is not a pretty sight. And when you tell somebody else this, they don't want any part of you and your belief and your traditions. We don't want to see this happen. But yet, family, it is going to happen. But yet, we, God's people, have been told, fear not. Don't fear. Because God is working out that plan for you and for me. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of the Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with the power and the glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, much greater than the blast I blasted here. But it will be a sound of a great trumpet, and all will hear. And that trumpet will be blasted, so they will be gathered together, his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That trumpet blast will gather his people together. And those who are alive during that time period will hear that blast. They will hear that trumpet blast. Verse 33, then now we learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. You can look at that fig tree and know, okay, the weather is changing, temperatures are getting warmer. So that tree is going to come to life. So you also, when you see all these things must come to pass, as Christ is sharing with the disciples and you and me today. All these things must come to pass, and know that it is near. It's at your door. Or surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So family, what we're learning is this. The disciples wanted to know, when are you going to return? He's letting them know and letting you and I know today that there are things that must take place first before he returns. And then we go on down to verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one taken away. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken away while the other is left. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched. He would have watched. What you and I must do is watch. Be aware, be prepared family, by taking note of the things that Christ is telling us, because when the Father sends him back, we don't know that day. We don't know the hour. The Feast of Trumpets here pictures a time in which a blowing of the trumpets will usher in events prior to the return, the actual return of Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Revelation 8. Let's go over to Revelation 8, and let's take a look at a couple of, well, three of these trumpets that are going to be blown and the events that are going to take place. Family, we want Jesus Christ to return, but we also have to be aware and prepared for the events that are going to take place. It won't be a pretty sight. Even to sit down and explain this to our children, we don't want to present the doom and gloom. We want them to be aware. We want them to know and understand that when, prior to Christ returning, here are some events that are going to take place. Revelation 8 and verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angels at hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and he threw it to the earth. And there were noises. There was thundering and lightning and earthquakes. So even the angels had the seven trumpets and prepared themselves to blow the sound. The first trumpet. The first trumpet blast. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. You see, God's going to shake things up quite a bit. When these trumpets are blown, he's going to shake things up. He's going to get mankind's attention. They're going to know beyond a shadow of doubt, something is happening. And mankind is going to prepare themselves for war, as they always do when they come under attack. But they're going to really shake things up. So the first trumpet will strike the vegetation. It's going to be thrown down to the earth. And a third of the trees are going to be burned up, and all the grass burned up with them. Then there's going to be a second trumpet blast, and it's going to strike the seas. Verse 8, and then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Can you imagine that? I'm trying to picture a great mountain that can be tossed over into the sea. What that will look like. What others will think about that when they see that happening. Do you think fear will come across the heart of man when they see something like this happening? Just reading about it kind of shivers you a little bit. But just to stop and to think about it, to fathom a mountain burning with fire, thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea will become blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea will die. And a third of the ships will all be destroyed. This is what's going to take place before Jesus Christ returns. Mankind is going to know that God is God. They are going to know for their disobedience, for their disregard. Unlike the two men who were blowing the shofar at the pilot, it's going to be a different ballgame here. People will take note of this. Then down in verse 10, the third trumpet, the waters will be struck. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters. The name of the stars that fall will be wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from drinking that water because it was made to be bitter. It was made to be bitter. These events, family, must take place. The disciples wanted to know when would you return? We wanted to know, when are you going to return? There are a number of events, family, that will have to take place before the actual return of Jesus Christ. God will have the attention of all mankind when these events and these trumpets are being blasted and they're being sounded, and the events that are taking place as a result of these trumpets being blasted. My fear was, when I blew this trumpet, you all would get up and leave. But this is a different event, family. This is a different event. You know, I thought about it when I got in the truck and I was sitting there still looking at those two men. I said, you know what? If that guy had a saxophone and was standing up against that building and had his hat sitting out there, oh, people would take note of him. They'll put money in his basket. Why? Because it's something pleasant. It's something that, hey, you know what? I'll enjoy listening to that. But listening to this, listening to a shofar being blown, or listening to a trumpet blast announcing the destruction of things prior to the return of Jesus Christ, no one wants to hear that. That's not exciting. Verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. A third of the sun was struck. A third of the moon and a third of the stars. So that a third of them were darkened. Can you imagine looking up at the sun and seeing a third of the sun just going dark? Well, we've been prepared for that. It's an eclipse. We've been prepared for that. It's just an eclipse. But then to look at the moon, and then look at the stars. You know, I love laying out and looking up at the stars on a beautiful starry night. Love it. Couldn't tell you the names of all the stars, but I love it. I love just laying back, and I wonder. I lay back and I wonder, what does all this mean? You know, God, you are allowing us to see this beauty up in the heavens. Is one of those stars mine? Am I going to be placed on one of those stars? And if so, can I pick one out now while I'm looking up there at it? You know, that's kind of the things that went on in my mind when I lay back and I look. But to see this happen, the moon being struck, the sun being struck, a third of the stars also being struck, and everything being darkened. Everything being darkened. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, I really wasn't afraid of the dark as much as I was afraid of things that bump out at you in the dark. I could walk around the dark, but just don't throw anything at me in the dark. Then I turn into this little girl, and I'd be screaming all over the house. I had my aunt. I loved my aunt, but I didn't like staying in her house because the room that I had to sleep in was dark, and she had these real tall porcelain dolls. She had these tall porcelain dolls, and I couldn't sleep. And I would just sit up in my bed, and I would move back and forth, and the eyes would just sit there and follow me. And I did not like that room. And I was too afraid to get out of the bed because it was dark. And I didn't know what they were going to do. So I just fell back down and threw the covers over my head in hopes that I would just go to sleep and wake up in the morning and they would be gone. But they weren't. I woke up the next morning, jumped out of the bed. They were still there, but it was daylight. I could see and I could run. I wanted to go home. I wanted to get away from this room. And if any of you ladies had those type of dolls, shame on you. They're scary. But yet, fear. Fear causes us to do some amazing things. Fear causes us from time to time to turn away from God, family. It will cause us to turn away from God. Why? Because that trust is not there anymore. You know, now we want to question God about every little thing. Why did you let this happen? You know, and yet God is telling you and me today, hey, these events will take place, but don't fear, don't worry, because I've got you. I have you. So what we have to do is continue to stay in the fight and stay faithful, not give up, not throw in the towel, but yet we know that many will, and they will turn on one another. Here's what we're looking for, 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here's what you and I are looking for, forward to today. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's drop down to verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now we are looking forward to this day. We know that there are many more events that are going to take place before Christ's return, but the end is what we are looking forward to. Because in the end, we win. In the end, family, is what we have been living to see all of our Christian lives. And the dead in Christ will rise, and they who are alive shall remain and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. To meet him in the air. Family, we are looking forward to that day when he returns. We're looking forward to this opportunity to be able to rule with Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the opportunity to teach others of his ways. We're looking forward to that. The exercises that we go through in our personal lives today prepare us, family, to be the saints of God, ruling with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Normally we read this one here towards the last day of the feast. But yet, again, something that we're looking forward to. 1 Corinthians 15, let's drop down to verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, let's drop down to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ for that change to take place. We're looking forward to this time period. This is what, family, we're looking forward to, but there is that destruction that's going to take place prior to his return. These things must take place. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet blast, for the trumpet will sound, all the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the sayings that has been written. And death will be swallowed up. It'll be swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, oh death, where is your sting? You know, unfortunately this week, dear friend and dear sister, among many of us here in the church, had breathed her last breath. It's a very difficult week for a family to lose a loved one, but yet we're looking forward to the day that death will not have the sting that it has today. We're looking forward to that time. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ returning. But before he does, there's this blowing of the trumpets that's going to be gathering God's people together to usher in his return. But he's going to have to shake things up. He's going to have to shake mankind up. And mankind will know beyond a shadow of a doubt who the boss really is. And then as we begin to approach the Day of Atonement, being at one with God, well, Satan's going to have to be removed for that day to be fulfilled. He's going to have to be removed, and we're looking forward to that time as well. Revelation 11. Let's look at verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. There was a loud voice from heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. We're looking forward to that return. We're looking forward to his reign. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and they worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, they shall be judged. And that you shall reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great." Who fear your name. Who don't fear the events that are taking place, because you have prepared us, you have shown us, you have warned us that these things must take place before your return. And family, we're thankful that God gives us that insight. We're thankful for the insight that he gives us. And we just have to keep being reminded. And this is why the Feast of Trumpets has to be a memorial, so that we don't forget, so that we treasure the meaning of this time period. It's not a pretty sight in the beginning, but it will be in the end. God has to prepare things for you and me to be able to reign with Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there was lightning and noise and thundering and earthquakes and great hail." Family, we are looking forward to this return of Jesus Christ. There are many more events that are going to take place before he returns. Just wanted to give us a glimpse of these things so that we are reminded of the fact that he will return. Let us not give up hope. Let us not be faint at heart, but let us continue to be faithful to God. When Jesus Christ returns, will he find faith? Will he find you and I still waiting for his return and doing the things that he has instructed and commanded us to do? It's not easy when you sit back and you watch the destruction take place, but it has to take place. This is a preparation. This is a preparation. Can you imagine, you know, just kind of going out? Here these two guys are outside of a building. Let's say the pilot was a nightclub. They're in there partying inside the nightclub. And the saints of God are out here marching around this building. And we're blowing trumpets. We're sounding that shofar. They'll turn the music up louder. We'll turn the music up louder as well. And yet, they don't believe. They don't understand what's happening or what's coming. They don't. Family, we do. We do. And we can't forget about this. You don't have to turn to Revelation 19 to verse 16. We're looking forward to the time when Jesus Christ has on his robe, his thigh, name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Joel 2, the message was to go out and blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, and let the people know and be reminded of the events that are about to take place. That's what these two men were doing. They blew a shofar. They blew it loudly. Oh, you could hear it. But it was ignored. It didn't have a meaning. It had a meaning to me. I know it has a meaning to all of you sitting here and all of you that are listening via the web. This day has a very special meaning for all of us. In the beginning, it's not pretty. But in the end, family, we will reign with Jesus Christ. And we will teach others of his ways. So family, I hope that we will continue to memorialize this day and appreciate this day for what it means. It's not just all doom and gloom, but the events that are going to take place, as Christ told the disciples, and as he told you and me today, these events must take place before his return. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, We learned that today as well. But what we do know is we have faith in trusting his word. And as Dr. Groves said, from a God who cannot lie. He said, he will send his son. He will return. And he will reign forever and ever.